chapter number 16, and we're going to read a few verses over there. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Good to see Brother Dwight. Good to have him here this morning. Appreciate him. I'm glad he's able to come and be with us. Give you just a moment to find your place. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16. We're going to read beginning at verse number 19 down through verse number 31. And then we'll have a word of prayer. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, I just come today, and I thank you for letting us be here, and I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you for your great salvation, Lord, which you provided on Calvary. Lord, where you died for the sins of the world, I'm thankful, Lord, that you made it easy to be saved. As the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad, Lord, that you're real. I'm glad that your word is true. And I pray, Lord, that you would help today by the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts, convicting, helping. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church as we head into Vacation Bible School week. I pray, Lord, that you'd even take the message this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use it to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us that teach and are in charge of classes, that Lord, we would realize what's at stake when we are teaching and preaching the gospel, that, Lord, it's eternity that's in view. And Father, I pray that you just speak to our hearts and help us. I pray that souls would be saved. Lord, that you would use your word and you'd speak to hearts this week. We'll thank you. Have your way this morning. Lord, we come and ask for your help just now. I pray for your power. I pray, Lord, for your convicting spirit. Lord, that you would just help. And Lord, that the word of God would have free course. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's go back and read verse number 23. Just to begin with this morning, the Bible said, it said, And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And I'm going to try to preach this morning on a subject that I do not enjoy preaching on. You know, I enjoy preaching. I like to preach. There's nothing like it in the whole wide world. When the Lord speaks to your heart and He gives liberty and you can tell that He is ministering through His Word to God's people. But if there's a subject that I do not enjoy preaching upon, it's the subject of hell. In fact, I would go so far as saying that if somebody enjoyed preaching on hell, there's probably something wrong with them. There's probably something wrong in their spirit if they really enjoy. Now, you enjoy obeying the Lord and you want to do His will, but I mean just to flat out enjoy preaching on the subject of hell, I don't believe you ought to enjoy it. It's not an enjoyable subject as we come to think about it today. I do want to say this to begin with, that as I'm going to be preaching on the subject of hell, hell is not a bad word. It's not a bad word any more than Boone or Charlotte or Raleigh or Bristol is a bad word. They are places. And hell's a place. It's a real place. Now, it is used to curse people. If somebody uses it as a curse word and they say, well, they can just go there, well, that's using it in a way that really ought to never use the word hell, but it's a real place. It's a location. If we are right with God and we know what the Bible teaches, we would never wish anybody to go to this place called hell. It's a terrible place. It's a real place. It has a real location. I want to say also as we begin this morning that this is not a parable sometimes. And I've even read after preachers, heard people refer to this as a parable, a heavenly story with a earthly application. It's not a parable. When Jesus preached and when He taught using parables, it says in the Bible, "Then spake He this parable unto them." And there'd be a story with an application. But if you look here in verse number 19, it does not say that this is a parable. The Lord Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man." And if anybody would know what's going on in other places beyond this physical earth, it'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. And He knew about heaven and He knew about hell and He knew history and He knew families and He knew about people and He knew, just like He knows about us today. He knows all about us. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. And concerning this man, these two men actually here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus knew all about them. He knew about their earthly life and He knew about their life after death. And there is such a thing as life after death. And so I began to think about this earlier this week and was praying about it and studying about it. I want to try to preach on the subject, what it is like in hell. I was just thinking about that as I was mowing the other day. And I just got to thinking about this passage of Scripture. I got to thinking about what it's like in hell. There's no more descriptive passage of Scripture in all the Bible that talks about hell other than this passage of Scripture. I mean, it's mentioned all throughout the Bible. But boy, if you really want to understand and begin to learn what it would be like to go to hell, this is a good place to start. It talks about this man, and so there's some things I want to just try to simply point out about what it is like in hell. And I begin to study, I want us to look in verses 22 and 23, and I want to say this first of all today, hell is a place of consciousness. There's consciousness in hell. The Bible said again in verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." I was witnessing to a man one time years and years ago when I was pastoring over at Forest Grove. One of the men in the church, he had a friend in the community, and the man had terminal cancer. And my friend in church, he asked me, he said, "Preacher, will you go with me to see this man? He's going to die." We went and we sat in his house and we had a long conversation with him, and I got to witness to him and tell him what the Bible says, and he adamantly told us, he said, "I don't believe that." He said, "I believe when you die, you're just like a dog. You just die. And that's it." He said, I believe if you get over in the hospital and get out of your mind that God will have mercy on you." Now he contradicted himself in the same night. He said, on one hand, I believe you're just like a dog. If you die, you just die. But then he said, I believe if you get in your mind, get out of your mind, that God will have mercy on you and God would surely not send anybody to hell. Later on, we went to see the man, and he was in the hospital, and he was just like he said. He was out of his mind, and as far as I know, he couldn't understand a thing that we said. And we tried to talk to him and tried to witness to him, but he wasn't responding. And I've wondered a lot of times when the man took his last breath, if he didn't do something about the Lord Jesus Christ between the time that I witnessed to him and he rejected the gospel and the time when he got in the hospital and he didn't even know what was going on round about him, then today the man's in hell. It's an awful place, but hell is a place of consciousness. There's no such thing as if you die, you're just like a dog, you're dead. The Bible said that the man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There was no long period. There's no such thing as soul sleep. He was not asleep in the grave. He did not just cease to exist. A lot of people say, well, you just cease to exist. You're just not here anymore. Well, if there's no God, there's no heaven. If there's no God and no heaven, there's no hell. But I'm telling you today, there is a God, there is a heaven, and there is a place called hell, and nobody ceases to exist. Last night, the girls were gone. They were off doing wedding business. And I was at the house by myself. I had a little time. I sat down. I'd worked hard yesterday. And I looked through the channels on the TV. There's nothing on, of course. There never is. But on PBS, they had a special. And they had Willie and Waylon and Johnny Cash and Kris Kristofferson. And, you know, they used to get together and sing years ago. And they called them the Outlaws. They had a famous song called The Highwayman. Some of you might remember that. I hope you don't get the song stuck in your head because it takes a long time to get it out. I sat down a few minutes and I watched some of it. You know, that's from when I was growing up. And I remember listening to all those men sing many years ago. Two of them are dead now. But they sang that song, The Highwayman, and one of them was a sailor, and he died, and the other was a dam builder and worked on the great rivers out in Colorado. And you remember he fell down in the cement, and they buried him there, and they said that he died, but he said, "But I'm still around." Do you remember that song? And then another one sang about that he was a sailor man, and you know he lived on a ship and he drowned, and the theme, the message of the whole song is, you know, these guys, they said they died, but they said, "I'm still around and around and around." Johnny Cash was last to sing, and he said, "I was out in a spaceship and went to the far reaches of the universe." And he said, "I'll find a place to lay my soul down." He said, "But I'll still be around, even if it's like a drop of rain, and I'll be around and around and around." And what that song is teaching is reincarnation. That I'll come back, you know, that we all die, but we'll still be around. And even if you come back as a little drop of rain, that you'll always be around and around and come back as something else. But I'm telling you, that rich man in hell wasn't getting ready to come back as somebody else or something else. He's still in hell today. There's no such thing as coming back as something or somebody else. The rich man died and he was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There is consciousness in hell. This man was physically alert. This man was mentally alert. Today we have five senses. As far as I can tell, this man in hell had all of his senses. What I mean by that, we have five senses. We have the sense of sight. We can see in verse 23, the Bible said, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." When this man died and went to hell, he could see. First thing he did, he lit. You talk about a rude awakening. Now, I don't believe this man was evil. I don't believe this man was a bad man. I don't believe that he mistreated Lazarus. He was not there because he was rich. This man is no different than most of us this morning. In fact, as I was reading the scripture, the Bible said that he was a certain rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That could be any one of us. I'm clothed in purple, and I'll fare sumptuously right after church today. We live better off than 95% of the people in the world, probably, in the category in the Bible. All of us are rich. But he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. And when he lift up his eyes in hell, the first thing he did, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He had his hearing in hell. He talked with Abraham. He heard what Abraham had to say. He could speak in hell. He could touch. He could feel in hell. He described in verse number 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." He felt what was going on in hell. He could see. He could hear. Evidently, he at least thought that he could taste. If he could get a drop of water to cool his tongue, there's a sensation in his tongue that, oh, if I could just have a drop of water. You ever been out working and got real, real thirsty and dry mouth? Cotton mouth, we call it. Boy, I'd just like to have a good drink of water. That's how this rich man was in hell. He had all of his senses. I suppose he could smell. If he had the others, he'd had that. He was physically conscious. He was mentally conscious. He knew a whole lot of things while he was there, as he is there today. He knew who he was. He knew who Abraham was. He recognized Lazarus. That's the man that laid outside my gate. He's just evidently indifferent towards Lazarus. The Bible doesn't say he was mean to him or anything like that. But according to this passage of Scripture, Lazarus died first, and the man woke up in hell and he saw Lazarus over there. He knew who Lazarus was. He knew who Father Abraham was. He knew that he was in torments according to his own testimony. He knew that his brothers were in danger. He knew all kinds of things when he was in hell. There's consciousness in hell. There's no such thing as just dying and that's it and we cease to exist. Every person born into this world is going to live forever. Somewhere. We're either going to live forever in heaven with the Lord Jesus or we're going to go to hell and be there forever and ever and ever. Of course, later on, and I'm not going to get into all this, but hell is going to be turned into or cast into the lake of fire, but it's just more of the same and it's for all of eternity. But there's consciousness for all of eternity. What is it like in hell? People have their mind about them in hell. They can think in hell. There's consciousness. Number two this morning, there's conversation in hell. Verse number 24, the Bible said, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, as he saw Lazarus, I wonder if during Lazarus's good days, if he was probably a servant. He probably got sick and became a beggar, not being able to work. And when the rich man saw him, he recognized Lazarus as a servant. You know, send Lazarus over here. He's a servant type. Send Lazarus that he might dip, look what the Bible says. There's conversation in hell. There's things that are wanted in hell. What did this man want? Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. You ever thought about that? I mean, all the man wanted was a drop. Just send Lazarus over here that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. I believe with all of my heart the rich man had no hope whatsoever of getting out of hell. He knew that once he lifted up his eyes there that it was finality. Amen. He didn't say, "Let me out." He didn't say, "I want to get out of this place. Can you get me out of this place?" All he asked for, he said, "Mercy for a dip of water to cool my tongue. For I'm tormented." And there's wants in hell that'll never be satisfied. He had wants in hell. There is remembrance in hell. If you look in verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." There's remembrance in hell. Son, remember. Son, remember. A rich man, we don't know what his name is. A lot of people call him Dives, and I don't know why. He said, "You got to remember. Once upon a time, you had it shade with lemonade. You had everything you wanted at your fingertips. You were clothed in fine linen and purple and fared sumptuously every day. You could add anything you wanted, but no more. Never be like that again. Lazarus had a terrible life. Lazarus had evil things. Now the tables are turned. He is comforted. Thou art tormented. Just remember, you had your opportunity. You had your chance and you blew it." There's no such thing. There's no such thing as dying and going to heaven and knocking at the pearly gates, and St. Peter opens up and decides on the spot whether or not you're going to get in. You find that in cartoons. You do not find that in the Bible. Amen. Their eternities were determined before they took their last breath. A preacher can get up and say anything he wants to at a funeral, but it'll never change what that person did or did not do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Son, remember." And I will say this morning, I think one of the worst things in hell would be to remember. Especially those that die and go to hell from a church pew. Especially those that reject the gospel. They had a praying mama, a praying daddy. They were taken to church. They heard the gospel. They knew the truth. But they rejected it and said no. What are you going to remember for all of eternity? You're not going to remember your job. You're not going to remember your work upon this life. You're not going to say, "I wish I'd have had a bigger house or a nicer car." I'll tell you, for all eternity, a lot of people, all they're going to remember, "I was that close. I was in church. God convicted my heart. I held on to my sin. I sat there and slept and wasted the days and the time away. And now I'm in hell. Nobody plans on going to hell." Everybody would get saved before they died if they knew when they were going to die. But the funny thing is, and it's not funny, none of us knows who's next. The oldest person in this church, Brother Dwight, he's 101 years old. He could easily outlive any of the rest of us. And the youngest person here today could be the first to go. But you don't know when you're going to die. Say, "Preacher, when do I get right with God?" You better get right with God when He speaks to your heart. When you hear and recognize the truth, there's remembrance in hell. There's instruction in hell. You know, you've heard that saying, well, you learn something new every day. Look what this man learned in hell. Look what Abraham said to him in verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The rich man learned in hell, there's no going back and forth. Abraham basically tells him there, he said, even if I wanted to, even if I could, there's no way I can help you. See, some think they're going to pray their loved ones out of hell. There's no way. There's no such thing as getting a promotion for suffering for 1,000 years or anything like that. If you die and go to hell, you're there for all of eternity. Abraham said, there's a great gulf. You can't come over here, we can't go over there. There's a great gulf fixed between us and you. And there's no way, there's instruction in hell. He learns through conversation that he cannot have one drop of water, that all of his good days are gone, and there's nothing to do. Nothing can be done to change his situation. There's no partying in hell. There's no good times in hell. A lot of people, they're so deceived. They're so warped when they think about, we're going to go to hell and we're going to party down there. AC/DC rock group used to sing a song, On the Highway to Hell. And the rock groups would paint the picture like, we're going to go to hell and we're going to party and drink and have women and drugs and all this stuff and going to get away from God. I'm telling you, there's no party and there's no good times in hell. Every year out in Nevada, they have a big festival. It's called the Burning Man. And at the Burning Man Festival, and I'm telling you, this is going on right now. Every year they have this big festival out in the desert, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people go out in the desert and run around naked and drink and party and have all this stuff. It's called the Burning Man. And at the end of it, what they do, they make this great big large statue, or it's a big old thing, I don't know what you call it, like a man. And it's standing out there in the desert all the time, and they party all week long around it. And the finality of it is they have a big parade, and they set the man on fire, and they dance and they drink, and that's how they conclude their festival. And what that is a picture of is going to hell. People are deceived. We're living in a day and a time, there's no fear of God before our eyes. There's going to be no partying in hell. There's going to be no, we're going to finally get out from under the Bible and God and Jesus Christ and just going to have a big party. No, sir. The only thing in hell is torments. Torments. Number three, there's concern in hell. Look at verse 27. What the Bible said, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There's concern in hell. This man was concerned for his brethren. He said, I've got 5 brethren. Send somebody to them. You know, we live in a day and time, you don't hear much preaching on hell. I don't preach on hell very often. I don't like to preach on hell. God has to lay on my heart to preach on hell. But I'll tell you, the old time preachers preached on hell. Preached on hell all the time. I think what's happened to us down through the years, we have had hell scared out of us. And I said that very carefully. I didn't say we've had the I said, we've had hell scared out of us. And what I mean by that, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to bring that up in our witnessing. Somebody might think we're Looney Tunes. Somebody will ridicule us if we talk about hell or talk about somebody dying and going to hell. Somebody will come along and say, surely you're not one of them, are you? You don't really believe that a loving God would send somebody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell through the sin of unbelief. It's not because a man's a homosexual. It's not because he's a drunkard. It's not because he's a gambler. It's not because he's a thief. It's because you never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've had hell scared out of us. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to preach about it. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to mention it at a funeral unless somebody went there. And so it's not a very popular subject. And you don't hear much preaching on it, but it's still a reality. Somebody will say, oh, you're just trying to scare somebody. If something is real and you warn somebody, is that unloving? I don't want my children playing with fire. I warn my children to stay out of poison oak and wild dogs and snakes and everything else because that's a reality. It's not because I don't love them. It's because I do love them. And being realistic about a place called hell is the greatest love there is. Why would you warn somebody? Because you don't want them to die and go to hell. This man in hell, I'm telling you this morning, hell is full of missionary-minded believers today. But it's too late. See, all of a sudden, this man who evidently wasn't very concerned about eternal things, all of a sudden he's concerned about, he would love to give some of that money to missions. He believes that somebody ought to go and warn his brethren lest they come into this place of torment. You see, now he's a believer, but it's too late. Now he wants a missionary to go. Now he wants Lazarus to go. Go tell my brethren. I don't want my brothers to come here. If people in hell could witness today, if people in hell could talk today, they'd warn about it. Jesus believed in it. Jesus preached on hell way more than he ever did on heaven. I was reading this morning over in Mark chapter 9. He preached a message over there about going to hell. And he says, where the worm dieth not, and the flame is not quenched. Mark 9, 44 and 46. If you look that up in the NIV Bible, you will find that it goes Mark chapter 9, verse 45, verse 47. The whole verse is completely removed out of the Bible. Hey, if I was the devil, I'd want people to read a Bible like that. The Lord Jesus warned and warned, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. He was very concerned about people dying and going to hell, and he warned them that they ought to repent. If you look in verse number 30, the Bible said, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Do you know one did go? One did come back from the dead. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He appeared to over 500. Somebody did come back from the grave. But people are more concerned about who's going to win the golf tournament and the race and the ball game. Could care less about them, that. And so verse 31, the Bible said, and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's talking about how important is the Word of God. If they won't believe the Word of God, they won't believe if somebody got up out of the grave. How do you get saved? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. I'm glad I heard the Word one day. And when I heard the Word, you know what was bothering me? I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. That's not the best reason to get saved, but it's a good reason to get saved. You ought to get saved because Jesus loved you so much, He died on the cross so you and I can be saved. So you don't have to go to that awful place called hell. I was scared of going to hell. I'm glad I heard preachers that preached on hell and that warned us that there's a place that you don't want to go. And there's a conclusion I'll give you and I'll be done. Hell's not the only place mentioned in this scripture. There's actually two places that are mentioned. There's actually three places if you count earth. But the Bible said in verse number 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." There's two places in this passage of scripture. Lazarus, his name is it's a contraction, it's a variation of the name Eliezer, which means helped by God. Oh, Lazarus was a believer. And when he died, the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Say, "Preacher, what happens to us when we die?" I believe if you're saved, I believe the angels carries you to heaven. I believe there's a royal escort. Nobody gets lost along the way or has to find their way. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're ushered in as one of His children. If you die without Christ, you'll lift up your eyes in hell. There's two places. There's two options. There's two ways in the Bible. This is taught all the way through the Bible. And the rich man, why was he in hell to begin with? He had never repented. He knew why he was there. He said in verse 30, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent." There's some crazy beliefs out here today. There's some that says, well, you don't have to repent to go to heaven. But you got to repent to stay out of hell. Amen. That man knew that. If just somebody would go and witness and tell my brethren about where I am and what I'm going through, they'll repent, they will turn, they will change. You got to repent of your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Repentance and faith is just two sides of the same coin. It's the same thing. You can't really do one without doing the other. All you really need to know about hell is that you don't want to go there, and you don't have to go there. The Bible said in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's very simple not to go to hell. But you cannot not go to hell by believing just upon any old thing. You got to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have your faith on the right thing. I read something where Muhammad Ali, you know, he just passed away. And he said something like this. He said, "We all worship the same God. The Jews and the Muslims and the Christian, we're all serving God." That's not what the Muslims believe. That's not what the Jews believe. Because we believe this morning that Jesus Christ was God. They take offense with that. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm asking you this morning, has there ever been a place, has there ever been a time in your life that you can go back to and say, there is the spot that the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul and I believed upon Him and that's where He saved me and that's where He changed me? You better have a place. You better have a time in your life. You say, "Well, I'm saved. I just don't know when it happened or how it happened." Well, you could probably just get lost just as easy. If you're really saved, you can't get lost. But how's the God of heaven going to move into your heart? And you say, "Well, I don't know when that happened." I can take you to the place over at Brushy Fork, and I can take you probably within 2 or 3 feet, although they've changed everything inside, and it's nothing like it was, and they've changed the whole pulpit area and everything since then, I can take you back to nearly the spot that the Lord saved me. Amen. You ought to have a place in your life that you can go to and say, that's when the Lord saved me. That's where the Lord saved me. I don't remember the day, the time. I don't remember the year. I remember I was 9 years old, but I don't remember a lot of things. But I know the Lord saved me. Has the Lord saved you? If you've been saved, if you died today, if you got out in your car and you went down the road and you pulled out in the dangerous road out there and somebody come along texting, looking on their phone and run all over you and killed you, it's very likely to happen. Where are you going? Doesn't matter what the preacher says. Doesn't matter what your family says. Where are you going? Where are you going? Because you are going to die. Where are you going when you die? Which place are you going to when you die? Children, better think about these things. I'm not trying to scare children, but children, it's a reality. Heaven is a reality. Hell is a reality. Where are you going to go when you die? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. And I do appreciate